Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Your mercy and your grace is new every morning. Father, let us this morning to listen to your word, to learn from you, so we will be changed. You search our heart, Lord, so we can be transformed by your word. Father, we pray this morning and we surrender our time into your hand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this morning, we want to learn from James chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. James teach us this morning how to deal with the conflict among the Christians. In chapter 3, verse 6 to 10, James talk about the nature, destructive nature of our tongue. And chapter 3, verse 14, and so on, he talked about the bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in our heart. And this morning, James talk about conflict between the Christians among the believers. We can find conflict everywhere. We can find conflict in the politic, and that is very obvious. We can find conflict in religion, in education, in our marriage, in family, and even in the traffic, we can find conflict. Some new Christians might be shocked by the conflict that can be part of the church life. And this morning, James teaches us how we should take the necessary step to prevent conflict among God's people. We look at James chapter 4, verse 1. James begins by asking question: what causes quarrel and what causes fight among you? When was the last time you fought? And what happened? And why did it take place? We always think that if she or he more considerate, more thoughtful, if he or she did not so demanding, was not so unreasonable or not so demanding, that would be no problem. And we always blame other people for our conflict. And that's why James did not allow us to question the answer. What causes quarrel? What causes fight among you? And James begin to ask another question. Is it not this, that your passion are at war within you? James said that our desires, our passion, in King James Version is translated as lust. Lust is our deeper desire. We crave for something badly. That is our lust. It's not necessarily sexual lust, but this is a deep desire in us to get something. And James said, our desires within us that motivated by a longing for earthly pleasure or enjoyment that cause conflict. When something hinder us to fulfill our passion or our desire or our lust, we tend to fight it until we get it. And this is the battle or the war within us. So from this morning on, if you want to take selfie, before you take selfie, you said, the problem is in my heart. the problem is me. So don't forget, before we take selfie, every time we have to say that our problem is in my heart, is me. So we come to James verse 2. James said, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So the conflict comes because our selfish desires are not met. James uses a strong language. You kill, you covet. Covet is translated as envy or bitter jealousy or jealousy. So maybe it was not a first degree murder, but somehow we are all guilty for murder other people within our heart and with our mouth. And when you look at the, when you read at the news, someone kill someone's political career. When you read the news this morning, we do not need to commit murder to be a murderer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, Jesus said to us, to the disciple, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus compared murder to angry with our brother and our sister. They are both liable to judgment. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So we don't need to kill someone to commit murder. If you want to understand conflict, we need to understand that it is our sinful, selfish desires that is pushing within us and causing this frustration. It might be desire to prove to someone. Some people, they have to prove to the boss, to prove to the parent, because they are hurting. And they nurture their heart with bitterness. And the other people, they try to be defensive, very defensive, because they want to protect themselves from criticism. And this all cause conflict in our life. And as we know, our heart lusts for power, possession, and position. That is our worldly desires. In a marriage, when you look at our marriage, two selfish sinners live together. Certainly, fight and quarrel cannot be avoided. Let me ask you, when was the last time you fought with your spouse? And first, to be, James said to the believer, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. James said, there are some believers do not come to God for prayer. Prayerlessness is a sign of self-sufficiency. It's a sign of independence from God. Some Christians, James says, are trying to run things using their own strength and their own authority. Instead, they come to God for prayer for all their desires and trust God for the right answer for the just answer in their life. They decide for themselves what is good and try to achieve it with their own effort. Prayerlessness is the source for our conflict. James 4:3, and James says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. James said, even when you pray, you do not receive because you pray with the wrong motives so that you may spend it for your enjoyment or your pleasure. This is a self-centered prayer. James reminds us that the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do something what we want or to approve our plan and our agenda. But our prayer should honor our God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, when you pray, you should pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. And we should honor our God. We should prepare to receive His will into our life. The presence of conflict between Christian, between believer, is a sign that God's grace and goodness do not dominate our thinking. Unanswered prayer, according to James, is either we do not come to God for prayer at all, or we pray with a wrong motive because we want to use it for our own pleasure and enjoyment. And then verse 4, James says, you idolatrous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world make himself enemy with God. You adulterous. Before this, James also referred to the Christian or the believer as brother and sister. But this time, he said, you adulterous is a very strong language. And also, James used it as a marital term, adultery. Because God describe his relationship with his people like a marriage. He called us his bride. Jeremiah 3:20, it says, but you have been unfaithful to me, you people of Israel. It is a picture, you have been like a faithless wife who leaves her husband. I, the Lord, have spoken. It is a picture of spiritual unfaithfulness. Adultery is a spiritual unfaithfulness to God. Who live, some believer who are adulterers because he choose to leave God for sin. God called the safe person adulterous, because their attention, their affection are toward themselves and the world, not toward God. James said, if we choose a friendship with the world, we become an enemy of God. The Bible did not call unbeliever an adulterer. Never. But the Bible call us, the safe person, if we turn away from God for sin, an adulterer. A heart longing for the pleasure of the world provokes the anger of God, and we oppose the word of God and his works. And this all causes conflict between the believer. And when we look at Genesis, Adam and Eve, they wanted to be like God. This is the word failure. And Lucifer fall because he rebelled against God's authority. So we need to understand it is not a friendship with the people of the world that is wrong, but a friendship with the value and priority of the world that is wrong before God. So we need to check our health. The health of our relationship with God can be assessed by examining our heart, whether we love God or we love the world. I know many Christians, they try to make friendship with the world and they try to make friendship with God. And I think, personally, if we can make friendship with God and make friendship with the world, that would make discipleship very easy for us. But James says, friendship with the world is an enemy to God. When we look at the Bible, a young ruler, when Jesus told him to sell off his possession, give it to the poor, he went away very sad because he was very rich. Even though he kept the commandment since when he was young. Friendship with the world make an enemy with God. Have to understand this. We cannot have both way in our life. James chapter 4 verse 5. James says, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearned jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. James says, God is a jealous God. Jealousy is a marital term. But the jealousy of God is a righteous jealousy. According to the expert, this is very difficult to translate. But the meaning, when James says that God is a jealous God, he means it. God is longing that those who have wandered away or captured by the value and priority of this world to return to him, to repent and come back to him. God wants our affection, our love, our attention as the follower of Christ. He wants us to obey him in order to find all we need, not part of what we need. All we need. And then the second part of chapter 4, we fortunate because James did not leave us with all the question and the conflict, the cause of the conflict, but James gives us solution, practical advice from verse 6 to 10, our dealing with God, 11 and 12, our dealing with one another. James 4, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but God gave more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposed the proud, but give grace to the humble. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When sin increases, God promised that the grace also increases. If there is more conflict, more difficulty, He promised He will send more grace to us. The greater the suffering, the greater the trial, He sent more grace. Don't fight, don't blame others for our difficulty, for our problem, because if we want to humble ourselves before God, He promised give us more grace. What is humble? We humble ourselves to God if we surrender completely our life into His hand. We trust Him for everything that happened in our life because of His goodness and because He ruled in our life. Amen. Humble, if we can acknowledge and admit what is inside in our heart and that cause conflict with others and with God. That is humble. The grace that forgive, also the grace that change and transform people. If our heart are changed, the world will be changed. That is the word of God. So when to end the battle or the war within us, the answer is we must experience the greater grace of God in our life. Then James says in verse 7 to 10, James wrote about a series of comments. How can we apply it into our lives so that we experience more intimacy with our God? James, and yesterday we have the leader camp, virtual leader camp. The theme was Revival 2020. And I believe when we know the command of James from verse 7 to 10 to 11 and 12, this is the key to our revival. The key to revival, that revival happen in our life, happen in our relationship, and happen in the church. That is the key to revival. James chapter 4, verse 7, the first commands. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself to God. This is the command. We cannot pray, God, let me submit to you. No. This is our intention, our choice to make a decision to submit to God. We have to walk in God's way. We have to obey His word. We have to obey all His command in our life. This is the command to submit to God. The conflict are the result of our godless desires which have not been met in our life. When we submit to God, we have to know that as soon as we submit to God, the devil becomes our enemy. There is always a deep resistance It is always a deep resistance if we want to let go our worldly desire, our worldly habit. Because they are rooted so deeply in our heart. This is, we face the deep resistance. As the worldly desires, it says, we need to be rich. We need to be known. We need to be recognized in whatever we do. This is the worldly desire. And James says, resist the devil. There's second command. Submit to God, resist the devil. How can we resist the devil? We need to be aware of the devil's influence and lies in our life, and not to take pleasure with our own pride. And the Bible says, God says, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. This is the promise of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter reminds us that the devil is our enemy and prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When you are tempted to go off that side of internet, the Bible says, resist him. When you are tempted to speak selfishly to your spouse, to your friend, to your colleague, the Bible says, resist the devil. When you are tempted to anger, to be proud, to doubt, or to worry, or to discouragement, resist the devil. When you are tempted to lie, to manipulate, resist the devil. When you are tempted to gain or to make profit at the other people's expenses, resist the devil. We do not fear the devil, but we must stand firm and fight the devil. Not with our own strength, but with the strength of Jesus Christ, with the help of Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us two tools in his life, in his ministry. The first one is the Word of God. After he fasted 40 days, and when Jesus went to the wilderness, the devil came to him and tested him. And Jesus says, it is written. He said again and again, it is written. If we want to resist the devil, we have to learn and to know the word of God. And the second tool is prayer. Jesus always take time to pray. He walked aside and prayed. Before the crucifixion, Jesus kneeled down in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. The word of God and the prayer is our spiritual battle. We can resist the devil with the help of God. And the third command, chapter 4, verse 8a. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Another command. Draw near to God. When it comes to salvation, God always initiates the relationship with us. But when James says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you, he meant that as a believer, when we turn away from God, we have to make a step, repent, and turn and come back to him. And if we do it, he has a compassionate heart. He will welcome us. He will kiss us. He will embrace us. In the Bible, there is a picture of a prodigal son, or a parable of a prodigal son. One day, a father had two sons, And the younger son came to the father, asked him for the inheritance. And then the father gave this younger son the share, the money and the wealth. And then this younger son, the Bible said, this is parable of Jesus. The younger son said, then the younger son, he went to a far away country. And there he spent all his wealth and with a lavish life. One day, there was a famine in this land. And the younger son was hungry. He didn't have any money to eat. And he went to a farm, tried to find a job, and he fed the pigs. And when he was so hungry, and even the food pigs looked good to him, and then he realized, even the servants in my father's house, they have plenty to eat. And he decided to come back to his father. And when he was still far away from his house, from afar, he saw his father. His father ran to him, and with compassion, he said to him, welcome him, he embraced him, and he hugged him. And he said to his father, Father, I have sinned against the heaven, and I have sinned before you. And he said to his father, I prepare to be your servant. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And what the father did, he called his servant, give him a good, give him a good robe and put the ring in his hand and let us kill the fattened calf. Let us eat and celebrate. Why? He said, the father said, my son was dead and now he is alive. My son was lost, and now he is found. This morning, when you convicted by the Holy Spirit that you are far away from our God, if you have problem and you turn away from our Father, he is waiting for you. He is willing to welcome you, embrace you, and kiss you. And he will say, you are lost, and now you are found. This is the heart of our Father in heaven. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The third comment. And the fourth comment, James says in chapter 4, verse 8b, cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. James specifies that repentance always involves our hand and our heart, our action and our attitude, our behavior and our mindset. Without change of action and our heart, there is no true repentance. Always can be witness our repentance. We can see people change in their behavior and their heart. James wants us to purify our heart, our mind, our desire, and our motive. James says, stop doing evil and stop thinking evil. By God's grace, we are cleansed inside out. the prodigal son, when he came back to his father, he confessed his sin. He confessed his sins, and he changed and repent. Command number 5, verse 9: Be watch and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. James continue talks about repentance. We must treat sin seriously. We should grieve. We should cry. We should mourn if we sin. We should feel remorse for our sin. Why? Because our sins separate us from the love of God, from the love of our Father. James is not saying there is no place of joy and laughter in Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of joy and laughter. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, consider it pure joy when we face trials. There is always joy and laughter in this hurting world if we know that our God rules completely over our life. James reminds us to not make joke. He said, let your laughter to be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Do not make joke at our sin. I know some businessmen, when they gather together, they try to make joke. I can steal these things from the 5-star hotel. And they feel very proud of it. And some businessmen say, you know, I can cheat through the customs. I can cheat government with my tax. And they feel proud of that. Recently, 3,000 millionaire depend on the job seeker payment, job keeper payment. We should remorse about our sin. James, the more James says, the more we understand this, the deeper our grief should be when we are caught in sin. And my question, what was the last time you grieved over your sin? When was the last time you grieved over your sin? Martin Lloyd-Jones has noted how the awareness of sin grew in times of revival. When we want to experience revival in our life, in our family, in our church, our awareness of sin must grow. Command number six. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. James says, when we repent, grief and gloom are part of our genuine response to sin. God will not leave us there in our lower point of our life. He promised he want to lift us up. He want to exalt us in his time. There is an example, very good example in the Bible. When Absalom, the son of David, made himself a king, while his father was a king, he rebelled against his father. And David has, as a king, David is a mighty warrior. He chose to escape his son. He did not fight his son, but he chose to leave the palace and leave Jerusalem. And then, on the way, some people show their faithfulness to David and some people show their unfaithfulness to David. And there was a man called Shimei. Shimei was a relative of Saul. Shimei came out and he threw the stone at David. You can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 16. He threw stone at David and he cursed David. Get out, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. Can you accept it? David was a king. And well, he encountered difficulty. People cursed him, humiliated him. And then this Shimei, he said, God, the Lord avenges on you. The Lord will give the kingdom to your son Absalom, a false prophet. And Abishai, David's people, all David's people was a good warrior. And Abishai said to David, why let you this dead dog curse you? Let me kill him. And David says, if the Lord taught him to curse me, who are you to stop him? And he said to Abishai, even my own son was trying to kill me. Let him curse me, because the Lord has told him to do so. In other words, David believed that everything in his wife, in his life, under the reign and the rule of our God. He know everything that happened in our life. So we must trust him. And David says, perhaps God will see my affliction and will bless me because of these curses today. This is exactly what James says. Humble yourself before God and he will exalt you. The more you suffer, the more you humble, the higher he will lift you up. This is the word of God. And sometime in our life, when we face one problem, that not stop to that one problem. There are more trouble and conflict. At the same time, we have to deal with them. This is exactly the experience of David. But when we have conflict and people gossip about us, slander about us, do not prove that we right. Do not seek other people's defense. We have to trust God, humble ourselves before God, and he will lift you up in his time. And David says, the Bible says, God says, I have found David, son of Jesse. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David had done a lot of mistakes in his life. But when it comes to his relationship with God, he will do anything to restore his relationship with God. Psalm 34, verse 18-19. David said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord deliver him from them all. So we must humble ourselves. From today on, do not pray, God, humble my heart. This is your decision. This is our choice. We have to humble our heart before God so that He can exalt us. The last one, our dealing with one another, verse 11 and 12. James says, brother and sister, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them, speak against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not a law. You are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one judge or lawgiver, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? James takes us to the second dimension of our repentance in dealing with one another. James shows us in chapter 3 that our tongues are untamed. But he tells us not to slander one another. Speak against one another is to speak against the law. Speak against God, because God is the lawmaker and the lawgiver. Gossip, slander, criticize, this all discourage people and dishonor our God. We cannot slander the law without slandering God. And when we humble ourselves before God, it will affect the way we speak to others. Godly speech will encourage others and honor God. So I want to clarify a little bit. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 24, do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. What does it mean? Judge. The Bible said do not judge, but we have to judge with the right judgment. James, when he wrote about the scripture, he tried to confirm the believer. So there is two in the Bible, confrontation and condemnation. For us Eastern people, we don't like the word confront, and we like and we choose to speak about other people behind their back, not confrontation. But as a believer, we have to trust God. We confront people, that means we make a correction in his life so that he will honor God. This is confrontation. We have to use a wise discernment and wise judgment. But condemning or judging, if we use our own selfish ambition to let people down, that is condemnation, and we are wrong. Because Christian, we do not condemn people. James says, if you judge your fellow Christian, you become a lawbreaker. A believer should speak with the love of God and show your love to your neighbor. The Bible, there are a lot of examples. Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses for marrying a Cushite woman. But in fact, they were against Moses' authority. Job's friend, when Job has problem, they spoke against Job. Psalm 50, chapter 19 and 20, Psalmist say, a wicked person will speak against his brother and slander him with lies. As Christian, do not speak against other people behind their back. Do not slander. We must take care of our ear. Do not listen to slander. So I repeat again, 7 commandment. Number 1, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Clear your hand and purify your heart. Be watched and mourn when you caught in sin. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Do not slander one another. This is seven command. If we can apply this in our life, we will experience revival in our life. God bless you.